The opinions expressed in the following program are those of the producer and not necessarily those of WKTV Community Media.
Family-owned Palermo Pizza underwrites this episode of Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast, located at 901 Gazan Parkway, Southwest Wyoming, and available at 616-531-8300.
Hello, everybody. This is Brandon Jose, and welcome to another episode of the Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast. I'm going to introduce my co-host, Kim Colleen.
Hello. I'm coming from Holland, Michigan this evening, and I've been with the Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast for, 3 years now, Brandon?
Yeah. I know the show started in 2019. Yep. You joined us about our sixth episode. Then other co-host, Tanya.
Hi, it's
our guest.
Hi, it's Donnie Geyer-Sager here. And I have the great pleasure of introducing someone I had the joy of meeting at Mansfield Reformatory at their ParapsyCon back in May. I met Gregory Nicholas. He is a fourth generation psychic. He kind of pegged me at the beginning about being at having healing abilities, but he made me take a second look. I'm like, oh, really?
Good. Yeah, I'm glad to be here. And by the way, they did set the date for next year's OSR.
Mm-hmm.
So hope to see you there too. But no, thank you for having me. I look forward to happy to be here and just looking forward to a good evening.
So as we said, that you are a fourth generation psychic. So mm-hmm. I'd like to know a little bit about that history. If you could tell us how, like which side of the family and how far back it goes.
Sure. As I said, fourth generation psychic and medium, Tanya. Big difference between the two. No, that's fine. Sure. Because my ability to my great grandmother, she came over, immigrated from Naples, Italy in 1919, settled in a small town in Pennsylvania, actually where I'm from, but the ability or gift went from her to my grandmother, to my mother, to me. Ends with me. My wife and I do not have children, so it does end. Like I said, the psychic side, in my opinion, what I call it is going forward, the future cards. I use oracle cards and I use playing cards. I use dominoes. I don't know if you noticed when we're next to each other at OSR, I would use dominoes for part of the psychic reading. The mediumship side is spirit. If they anybody who's passed, of course, wishes to come through, we let them. Or if there's someone you want to talk to, we see what we can do. But it is my career. I started seeing things. My first experience, believe it or not, was at age 4.
Wow.
Yeah. It was at a funeral with my mother, and her aunt was there. And I said, her name was Louise. I said, oh, Louise is here. And she said, yeah, she's, you know, laying right there. I said, no, she's in the corner. And she said, we'll talk later. And that's how it started. That's how it all started. I had my mother and all of her. She was one of seven, and her siblings over the years groomed me. I do raise a few eyebrows with this next statement. My family and I are very strict Catholic. But there is a right and a wrong way to do it. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to go down that road. But, nothing dark ever. Big believer in Archangel Michael and Saint Benedict. Saint Benedict is the patron saint against evil and demons. Always with me. Nothing dark. When I do a mediumship reading, I always ask for healing messages for highest and best good for those present.
Well, the one thing that I liked when you told me while we were talking at Mansfield was you said your grandma threatened to haunt you if you charged more than $20.
My mother, it was mom. And mother will be gone, actually, it'll be 12 years, the end of next month. And before she died, my wife and I were there with taking care of her, and she had arthritis, and she had that crooked finger. You overcharge, I'll haunt you. And I'm afraid of them. I have buried 34 people in the family, and I'm afraid of every darn one of them. So I am doing my darndest to keep prices low. I do a lot of virtual readings, but for me to come to you for any parties or anything like that, I do require a minimum of at least five, and just to pay for gas, just because, well, that's a whole other issue, but to pay for that. But that's what I do. And I am booked almost all year now.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah, but I enjoy what I do. I am extremely blessed in that I enjoy what I do. There are some trying times, you know. In fact, just yesterday, Tanya and I were talking about where I was. And then during one of my readings, a big one, believe it or not, I did a big gallery. Three suicides came through. And my job is to bring them through. I try and be as extremely respectful as I can. And if someone wants me to stop, I say, please let me know. I'm not here to, you know, force the issue. If you wish me to stop, please do so. Mm-hmm. And but they needed it for the healing. So that was it. But I enjoy what I do.
I love how you kind of, me and you kind of work the same way, because I'm the first person that in group readings, I'll say, if I'm getting too personal or you don't want to discuss it in front of everybody, just tell me to stop and we'll move on. You know?
Yeah. 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 And Tanya, being empathic too. Yeah, oh, 100%. You know, I'm empathic, and I know you are. We can feel that, and kind of that's where we use our additional sense, as I call it, to help us. But yeah, mm-hmm. But still, we have to be somewhat diplomatic in how we phrase things.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Very.
Yeah. True. Yeah. And then the paranormal side. What's that? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It can be a sensitive subject on some way some people pass.
Yeah, that, and in addition to that, but pregnancies that were not successful for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. You know, too. And then the paranormal side. I love doing that too, communicating with the spirits as well, whether it be at Mansfield, whether it be at Hillview Manor or any of the other locations. And two, you walk into some of these century homes, and to me, they just start singing.
Oh, I've had some of them where it's just like, oh, yay, somebody to talk to.
Yeah. I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Mm-hmm. But no, I enjoy it. And like I said, I'm busy 7 days a week, but and I am not one of those readers, and I know you are not either, where, oh, you have something dark, you know, and you know what I mean, you have something dark, and oh, it's going to be awful. No, what good does that do?
I agree with, what good does that do? I've noticed with some of them where I've seen people do those kind of readings, and the people come back and they're all paranoid and their anxiety is, and being empathic, mm-hmm. You feel all of that, and you're like, can I fix that?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, but I try and be as respectful if possible when I do everything. Mm-hmm.
So I have a question for maybe Tanya and Greg. When you do a reading and you do see if you're empathic and you're doing a video reading, how do you connect with that person over a video screen without being in person? And to back that up, if you do see something negative, you just not tell that person at all, like you just keep that to yourself?
Oh, I don't. I will tell them if I see something negative, mm-hmm. but I don't try to tell them, oh, it's something bad. I always go, we can take care of this.
Right. Okay. Yeah, and good point, Tanya. I like what you said. We can take care of it. To me, depending on what it is, it could be something like a car or an auto accident. And I'll say, oh, hey, you know what? You may want to be careful driving or something like that. And in terms of health, that's where I'm very cautious, because, guys, we are not doctors.
Yeah.
Okay? We're not doctors. But, oh, hey, have you been to the doctor? I don't know where this is coming from. I may know darn well, but I won't say it. But for me to, and that's a real good point, to just ignore it and brush it off, no.
No.
I try and finesse it in such a special way to help them, but not to scare them or to petrify them. Remember, we have free will. They don't have to pay attention to any of us. I could say, be careful how you drive, and they could say, I don't care, I'm going to do what I want. Well, okay.
But if you see somebody who potentially has a heart condition, mm-hmm. you would say, hey, you know, I'm going to suggest to you that, have you seen your doctor lately?
Yeah.
Or, I actually had a situation like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Had a situation like that.
Mm-hmm.
I had a reading where a couple or a family came to me, and they were like, oh, our dad was cleared for surgery. And I was like, I think you should get a second opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I got a few phone call like a couple weeks later, like, oh my God, you saved his life. And I was like, I didn't save his life. I was just the messenger.
Because exactly.
If he had his life, he wouldn't have made it.
We are the messenger, Tanya. We're the conduit. Yeah, and we're the conduit in terms of how to help things come through. But I agree with you. Gee, are you sure? Do you need a second opinion? Or I may even say, well, were you comfortable or are you comfortable with the information you have? And they say, well, no, I was thinking about doing something. I say, well, then why don't you look into it?
Yeah.
That if nothing more than your own peace of mind.
Yeah. So do you feel like you can make enough connection with the person over a video chat versus an in-person?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can. Now, I much prefer to, 100%, transparency here. I much prefer the face-to-face and everything. It's just an energy thing. But if you have to do readings, and, let's face it, when we were locked down with COVID, we didn't have a choice.
Yeah, true.
And now, because I do them all, all over the place, all over the country and other countries too. Now I have to do virtual, but yeah, I still can make the good connection. But remember, I've been doing this, guys, for 56 years.
Wow.
I'm 60, and I started at age 4 doing that, picking up on things. And so I have learned how to, work that and anything. And Tanya, I don't know when we first met, about I'm a huge, huge believer in protection.
Oh, me too.
Huge.
Me too. I don't go into any place without asking for protection or carrying an amethyst.
The amethyst, I usually have that with me too. And I don't get out of bed without, first thing, just nice deep breath. There's the divine gold and white light there. Armor up. Ladies, pretend you're Joan of Arc, okay, with her shiny armor fighting that off. For guys, we could be like, I say, Archangel Michael, or are you King Arthur, where you just have that strong, or St. George, where you're just slaying everything so that we don't pick anything up, because double full, we don't want to pick it up, but we're also empathic. Mm-hmm. And so we don't want to have anyone drain us, because let's face it, everyone, psychic vampires exist.
They do.
Do you
feel like you're susceptible then to that?
Oh, yes.
Let yourself be,
no abilities whatsoever, you're more susceptible.
Oh, 100%. And I equate it to this, Kim. That's good. Tony, you and I were like Bud Lights. Things can be drawn to us, and people drain us, make us tired. I usually get it when I feel it. No, I really have to amp up my protection back here. At the base of the skull, like something draining or pulling. Sometimes you may get it in your solar plexus, seat of emotion. Yeah, it happens, because a lot of times too, especially from the mediumship side, people come to us desperate for wanting to connect.
Right.
If there was a rough time, or children, or someone died tragically, they want to know they're okay. They really want to connect, and I get it, but I have to put up the protection, because they can make us tired, drain us. And if we're tired, we're not as effective to them, our clients, as they would want us to be.
Right.
And I don't want to get into the location, but not too long ago, a family called me in, and I did not want to go. They called me 4 times, and I did not know details, but he kept showing up to me. Unfortunately, it was a 13-year-old boy who did take his own life. And I walked into the house, and it was a gallery, and I immediately felt it, and we got right down to it. And I kept just breathing and putting the bubble around me and things like that, because I needed to. And everything came through for him. I mean, they got a lot of answers.
Okay.
In terms of why. But he came right through, but they needed it. And those situations, Kim, can be very draining, tiring. Again, back here, the pulling, the headache, sometimes blurry vision.
Wow. How do you only ask that one spirit to come through and not get over flooded? I mean, that gallery meeting, they were looking at just connecting with that one family member. How do you
that's a great question.
That's a good question. Good question. For me, yeah, and when I do any event, like this one with that family I told you about, what do I need to know for their highest and best good? On my way to an event, I do not talk on the phone and I don't have the radio on. What do I need to know? By the time I'm there, things start to creep in. And it was this young man, and then I can't say someone else came, two other people came in, excuse me, for a total of three to let them know he was okay. Now, yesterday, on Saturday, I did a big event in Pennsylvania, a gallery. And again, what do I need to know? Kim, it is just something more where I have learned over the years to focus on what do I need to know? See, hear, feel, smell, everything. And I just start going with that.
See, the one thing I think each one with gifts, they develop their own ritual. Yeah. And like with me, if I'm going someplace, I'm blaring the music, I'm singing along, I'm gathering, and that's gathering up energy for me.
Right.
When I walk into that environment, then the spirits are using my energy and not theirs. And then I have family members on the other side that kind of controls one at a time for me.
Yeah, and but good point. No, good point. Good point, because I always ask my angels and guides to help. Good point. Good point. You always do that. It's like I say, okay, guys, here we go. Help me out and like help funnel it or keep things, I call it, in order, but you know, so it's not pure chaos. Okay. But
so you have a little bit of a control on who can come over, so you're not inundated with hundreds or thousands of spirits trying to connect with you at that given moment.
Yes and no, depending on where. Okay, like this house party I told you about with this young man, that was very controlled. Yeah. Yesterday, you know, was at a very, very large haunted location. Okay, not only did I have the info and the spirits for the people present in my gallery, I had over 30 people in, you know, one room. But then you also have the spirits of the manor, as they're known, to come through as well. And during me, again, part of my ritual is, okay, guys, you hear your residents, you have to stay out for this next hour and 15 minutes while I talk to these people. And again, it's just a process of over the years. And Tanya, you and I, you know, we develop our own, but there is no textbook example.
There isn't. There really isn't. Of what
works. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, now,
I think it's great with you. Like with me, I didn't have people along the way to help nurture or guide me, where you had family members. Mm-hmm. How do you think that impacted you to have an easier embrace of your gift?
Oh, 100%. Right, wrong, protection. Remember, it is a gift to me. It was a God-given gift. Now, I started out, and Tanya, you may not know this, I was born with a veil, okay? And they knew from the minute I was born. Now, this is a story, guys. This is a story that when I was born with a veil, they knew I was going to be gifted or something like that. Didn't know when. But the family was there grooming me. You protect, okay? You never take it for granted. You always be thankful before and during and after a reading. You be thankful for being able to help someone, to bring in their departed loved ones, whether it be family or friends. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they're very there, very much there too. And there are 2 days of the year I will not work, and that is Easter and Christmas. Mm-mm.
Greg, explain to our listeners what the veil means, because I think maybe we know what that means, but I think of our listeners maybe don't know what that means.
Oh, sure. When you're born, it's like an extra covering or a membrane over you when you're first born at that moment of birth, and it's called the veil. There's different cultures have different words for it too, but that's with the veil. And it's like an extra, I was always told, an extra layer of protection. And that's how they know that you have some sort of an ability, whether it be psychic, medium, or I also want to say a very good energy worker, or have a healing ability. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Whether that healing ability be sound, you know, with tuning forks, crystal bowls, energy work, Reiki, something like that. Or is it the traditional medicine, you know, or someone who does a combination of everything?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Where with mine, I, like I said, with my family, we didn't have, it wasn't talked about. It was, you know, very Catholic in the fact that everything is so wrong. And yeah, I was raised Catholic too. And then when I finally came out of the broom closet, as I like to call it, they were like, that explains so much about you.
Yeah. Well, then too, and Tanya, you bring up a good point. And when we first met down at OSR, I don't know if you noticed my table. I had a lot out there in terms of protection, and that is like my crutch. My mother's rosary was there.
I saw that. I saw her, that rosary, because I was admiring it.
Yeah, a mother's rosary. A medal for Saint Benedict, again, patron saint against evil and demons. Archangel Michael was there, again, protection. There's a blessed salt from the Vatican there, too. A bottle of holy water from a shrine in actually Canton, Ohio. The lady is up for sainthood from Canton. This is all stuff that I need, and again, me getting me and set in my ways. If it's not out there on my left side, or near me when I do a gallery, it's like, okay, focus. Yeah, I need it.
I like that with my big amethyst that was on my table. And when somebody touches it, I'm like, no, don't.
Yeah, I amethyst, I tend to wear one. My wife made it for me. I tend to wear that too. But we all do our own things. And Kim, it is a very big, in my opinion, the comfort level for what we want to do. Because remember, we're all always learning in this field. Always. You know, Tanya, you and I, we could learn from each other. You know, too many people, and I'm sure we all know them, everyone, who thinks, there's nothing more I can learn. I vibrate too high.
Which I don't agree with that. You can always learn something new.
We can learn something daily from everybody, guys. But the big thing in my mind is that we have to be thankful for it, because we can lose it as easily as we got it.
Yep.
That was always drilled into me growing up. Just be thankful.
Greg, I do have a question, because a lot of the mediums we've had on, like, different mediums have different abilities, how they connect with spirit. Like, how would you describe, like, how do you, like, what do you see or hear, or, like, how do you
experience? Well, good point. Good point, Brandon. See, hear, feel, smell are mine, too. I see, I can smell, I get a lot of different senses. Hearing is probably my weakest, but I feel, I tend to pick up on a lot of, like, if someone died of a heart attack here, or like a stroke or something, this is my sign. My face will go numb for like someone who may have passed of a stroke. Popping, I'll feel like things popping in my head, like for an aneurysm. It's not uncommon for me to start coughing recently. And it's like, what is going on? this, COVID.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, Brandon, I pick up on a lot. I do see. The older I get, the more I see, and the more I'm learning how to control it. Like if we are out somewhere at a mall or, you know, someone's house, you know, there are times my wife and I go out and I'm there just to enjoy myself, not to work.
Yeah.
And I won't bring it up.
I've done that. We're on the opposite, where I will sit there and go, I see something. If I don't say something, they won't leave me alone.
Yeah. Well, too, guys, and also full disclosure, there are friends, because, again, I do not use my real name, that do not know what I do. They don't. Now, granted, we don't see them that often, but they don't know. Because they can be extreme. They're one of these people who, when I said I have been called the devil, or things like that, which has happened, happened to my face. So
that's happened to my face too. I've been told I'm going to hell many times.
Oh yeah. But one thing I don't do, Kim, and this may help you too, and Brandon with you too, I never drink or take anything, even aspirin before I work. Mm-hmm. Never. Because people are too quick to judge, or it's the wine or the liquor talking. No. And, you know, I know plenty of people, and I'm sure you guys do as well, who have to use something to connect. Yeah. You know, I don't. Tanya and I have a feeling you are the same agreement with me.
I don't even drink alcohol. I mean, I when people ask me, don't you drink? And I was like, no, I can't control my gifts if I do.
Exactly, too. Now, afterwards, like if I'm doing a house party or something and it's done and I know it's all over, then might, and not even a lot, have a glass of wine or something, yeah. But not before and not during, ever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You just want to, I want my people to know that it is me talking. This is me through spirits, the channeling or whatever, talking. So, yeah.
I had to say, when we met, there was something that made me feel like we were kindred spirits. And the more we were sitting here talking, I was like, oh my God, we are kindred spirits.
Yeah. Well, we have a lot of the same beliefs, and it could be something as simple as a, you know, a past life connection, or somehow that we had a connection before, too.
Have you been able to tap into past lives?
Sometimes. I don't do a lot, to be honest with you, because it's hard to validate. You know, if I'm reading you or whatever and I get a flash of something, I'll bring it up. Mm-hmm. But for me to sit there and intentionally do a past life reading, no. No.
I've done past life, but I've been taught to do it where they go on the journey and you go with them. So if anything happens, you can answer them out.
Right.
I'm not the one needing help them find validation. You're the one experiencing it.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That's why I was curious if you've ever dabbled before.
Oh no, I get it. It's just never something that I've done. Recently though, guys, I am connecting more, believe it or not, with horses.
That's actually a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
I need to connect with.
Near where we live and like Northeast Ohio into Western Pennsylvania, I've done big events at horse barns. You know, one of them, she has over 30 horses, and I get in the stalls with them and the owner, because I have a healthy respect for the animals, and they just start talking. And one of them not too long ago was, you know, the wrong hip. The horse was telling me about the wrong hip. And I said, what's she saying about the wrong hip? They started to laugh. Here, the vet was there a day or two before and was looking at the wrong hip.
So you feel like you can have a connection and speak with animals?
Horses. For me to sit there and like your cat or your dog sometimes, but again, to be honest, Kim, it's not something I put a lot of time into or focus. Because, you know, when I go somewhere, not a lot of people have their animals out. Now, have I been asked to go to pet shops and read them, like with a party? Yeah, but that may be like only twice a year. But it's just not something that's my specialty.
Interesting.
Yeah. But the horses, don't ask me why. Equine energy is just great.
It's easy, actually. It's because they have such an intelligent energy.
That's a good way of putting it. That is a real good way of putting it, too.
Because I grew up with horses, so I've always had that ability to connect with them ever since I was
young.
And it wasn't until I got older that I could understand we were communicating.
Yeah.
And I told my older sister, who still works with horses to this day, I went to the barn to visit, and I told her about this pony that was in there that she hated her name. Her name was Tiny. She's like, no, I'm the biggest thing out there. I'm bigger than, you know, she's like, I'm running around and herding all the other horses. And my sister looked at me and was like, yes, she does that.
Yeah. No, one thing that helps me, Tanya, and something you said too, I do a lot with auras. I see auras around people. And their energy. And because remember, guys, your aura can change split seconds. Any of you, I can see your aura, and you could be nice and calm color, like a sky blue, pink, and something can do to just honk one of you off, and you're going to go just like a bright red. I use that a lot during my readings to help me to back up what we talked to at the beginning, to know how far I need to go. Because if I see someone's aura going like red or like fiery orange, I know I need to back off, that they're uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Yeah, too. And just look at it this way, too, guys. The different sayings throughout life. Are you pea green with envy? Muddy green, clogged. Okay. Gee, you look blue today. navy blue can indicate depression. Now, not this color, but the darker navy blue, yeah, can indicate depression. You're all rosy today. Happy, rose pink. See what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's fun.
Can you see auras too?
Oh, yeah. I see them. I prefer face-to-face, and I do a lot of feeling too, you know, with how close you get, like hot, cold, push away. And again, those of us who are empathic, Tanya, you are, we can feel it. Like if someone is pushing you away, I actually catch myself moving back because it's their energy pushing us away, their level of discomfort with us.
Or I've even sensed it where they're trying to draw the energy and my energy, then somebody tries to force it, automatically my energy shifts it and pushes me away. it's like, no.
Yeah, Tanya, that, and my good point. My experience with that as well has also happened where the psychic vampire things, you know, if you feel their energy pulling you, are they just trying to drain you? Now, I can't say everybody does it deliberately. I can't. Some people just need that boost or need the energy, whether they're having some emotional or mental problems, grieving, or is there some physical issue?
Yeah.
When the vampires come around you, are they other psychics or mediums, or are they just normal people?
Everything.
Okay.
Everything. A lot of people who are grieving, some who have maybe, believe it or not, in some sort of recovery. Okay. They can be other psychic mediums as well. Again, that's why I protect a lot. And that is just nothing more than experience over the years, me doing that. Mm-hmm. Because, and they make us tired too. And again, Tanya, you've been doing this a while. We know.
Yeah.
We know.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can also cut the cords, take our psychic scissors, cut the cords, reinforce our bubble, armor up even more, things like that. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah, good question, Kim. Good question. But seeing auras is fun and watching them change. Yeah.
I like watching them change when you're doing good things for them. I don't like to watch them change the other way. I'm like, nope, time to walk away.
Yeah, well, and you can tell, and that's when, and again, this is just an experience thing. We know how to finesse what we're saying or whatever to in such a special way. Yeah, yeah, because I'm me and Tanya, you and I, again, we have that good connection. We are not there to cause trouble or discomfort.
Exactly.
You know, we're just not there.
I have to ask, because I was surfing your, went through some of your pictures earlier, because you had one that was a memory that reposted from Myrtle's Plantation.
That was a month ago.
It was a month ago. Okay, so yeah. How was that experience? Because Myrtle's is definitely a bucket list for me.
It was excellent. My wife always wanted to go. That was not even a month ago. We went, well, yeah, it was. We were there. It was July 11th. We were there. Great place. Started to pick up, and they didn't know who I was. I don't like going into those places and saying who I am or what I do.
I don't either.
I started to pick up because one of the things I kept doing was this. Something with my ear and then listening. I said, what is going on in my ear? Then they told me this, and I didn't know anything.
Chloe, you got Chloe.
Yeah. And the pictures on my Facebook page, that mirror, they say, is the most haunted artifact in the country. Okay. It has been resilvered 5 times. The images on that mirror, they say, keep coming through, whether they're the letters coming through, the faces, the hands. Yeah.
The hands are always the biggest one that I've heard with that. Is that
yeah. Yeah. And there's another picture. I don't think I posted it, of the steps. They're lined in red carpet, actually right across from that mirror. And I said, what's going on? Who died there? What? And I look at my camera or my phone. I took a picture. There's a white orb in the center of the steps. And the docent said, oh, so Mr. So-and-so died there. He fell down the steps, had a heart attack. Go. Now we're going back down in, I believe, April. We're going back down. I'm going to be doing an event at a shop in New Orleans. And That's on our list to make reservations to stay there at the Myrtles.
Yeah, I saw those. I was like, I have to ask about that experience.
Go. And the grounds are just as active as the mansion.
Nice.
Yeah. Some of the pictures, the mist, and a ton of dragonflies. A ton of dragonflies, which are to me a very good sign.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but go. It's about 90 miles north of New Orleans.
Okay. Definitely is on the bucket list.
Yeah, go.
So, okay. I'm going to ask real quick, too. This, I was out and about a couple of days ago, and I found something on the ground that was a message I know to me. And it was a blue jay feather, because I know
yeah.
And you don't ever usually see, you'll see bird feathers laying down, but a blue jay feather.
I know, that's odd.
It's very odd and very vibrant. And so I picked it up, knew it was for me. I picked it up and kept it. I know it's a message from my dad. Normally we can communicate, no problems. Mm-hmm. But there's something this meant. Do you mm-hmm. get messages like that from your family on the other side, or people from the other side?
Oh yeah, a lot. Like in your way, the feathers, and especially something different. Now, you know, the coins, people like to say the coins. Well, yeah, but are they in your way, or did you put your hand down the couch and find a handful of pennies? Yeah, you know, that's different. But people from the other side, it can be that. It can be a heart-shaped stone, but also it can also be something in the clouds. Mm-hmm. You can see their initial in the sky. You can see a heart. Now, that is obviously between you and Dad. Have you asked him to just come to you and somehow, Tanya, maybe even in a dream to clarify? That could be a good luck. Now, when to me, this is me, feathers mean going forward, new, a new, like pursuing something. It's okay to the proverbial take flight. That's me. That could be something that's you.
Me and him talk on a regular basis, and I yeah. asked him what that meant. And he goes, and he just laughed and went, time will tell.
There you go. Something new to me. Yeah. Yeah. Keep it.
I do. I have it.
Keep it. Yeah. Just ask him to give you a hint. And remember, see, hear, feel, smell, dream, all of them. This is where, Tanya, our patience has to kick in.
Yes. Yes. No, this is when I picked it up. I was like, because like I said, you see like pigeon feathers or whatever, but mm-hmm. a vibrant feather like that. I said, oh, this is obviously, I'm supposed to take it. I know this is from Dad.
Yeah.
And, he kind of giggled when I said that. So I was like, okay, maybe I got the wrong person here, but I was like, I'm still going with you, Dad.
No, and you know what, Tanya, you bring up a real good point. People ask me, you know, who are developing or learning whatever, how to trust it. It's your gut. There is no sure way. You know that's your dad. And I understand it's real easy for me to say, yeah, that is your father. What do I need to know? But other people may say, I don't know.
Some people just say it's just a feather.
Yeah. Yeah. But you have the gift and the ability. So I say go with it.
I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So tell me about your most haunted location, whatever. I mean.
Oh yeah. It was yesterday. Yeah. And yeah, I go there a lot. Now I've been all over. Well, first of all, the Myrtles is extremely active. Okay. I love it there. I wish we could have spent more time. We were on a timetable to drive back into New Orleans to get to the hotel. The Myrtles is good. Locally, Haunted Hillview Manor in Newcastle, PA. It is a 90,000 square foot former county poorhouse mental hospital home. It was opened in 1925, closed in 2004. Very active. Kim, before you came on, I was explaining to Brendan and Tanya, during the Depression, you know, people couldn't afford their kids. They had to drop them off there. It was a working poor farm. The owners at that time were not nice people at all. There is evidence of things that went on. In fact, one of the first times I went there a couple years ago, I kept getting the thing of bones and backyard and burned and buried. it did come out that if someone was single and they died, they would somehow dispose of their body, sometimes burn, in an just in a hole in the backyard to keep their money coming in from Social Security. Some children there just last night, I was there. A little girl downstairs named Courtney comes through, and all the meters, there were 4 or 5 meters going off, plus one of the ghost boxes or a go box that were just lit up, and you could see things. And she likes me. It was almost like on command. She would make the meters go off and things like that. There is active too. It's not angry energy per se. It's a sad energy because those people, that was their home.
Yeah.
You know, we went into a room, and my wife was with me about a year ago. And my wife, just for a sense of perspective here, is 4'11" and 101 pounds, very petite. In this one room, they kept touching her. Well, it turned out that's the room where a lot of the kids were, and likes Ring Around the Rosie. Okay. Last night, we were with another ghost hunter gentleman, Dan from Buffalo. They started singing it. Everything lit up, the toys and everything, because that was where some of the help would keep their children during the day when they were at work, like a makeshift daycare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think with all those children that were dropped off as well, I mean, they didn't have much of a childhood, so it's not a very happy feeling when your parents can't, you feel like your parents don't want you anymore.
Yeah, they don't. And a lot of times in this one area, people will leave golf balls. There's a reason for that. Two gentlemen who, this was the only home they ever had. The property is adjacent to a golf course. Later years, they used to go out and find the golf balls and resell them to the guys on the links.
That was actually smart.
Yeah, yeah. They used to, and people will leave like old Polaroid pictures there. They used to go up to visitors there when it was active and say, oh, hey, do you want your picture taken? Well, yeah, they felt sorry for him for a buck. Sure, click, here's your dollar. There is no film in the camera. They would be scamming. But Kim, that by far is the most active. Look on the website, Haunted Hillview, very active. But very rarely is it a scary energy and more of a sad energy. Yeah, one lady on one of the floors, she had glass eyes. And you're walking down the hall and you'll feel something like, what is that? She used to take her glass eyes out and throw them at people.
What the?
Uh-huh.
She's still doing it.
They love Christmas music. You go into the atrium and if you play Christmas music, you will hear them. There's an old piano in one of the corners. Some of the keys will start to get hit. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's great.
So, mm-hmm. Now, I know with me personally, for some weird reason, mm-hmm. and I say it that way, because I feel drawn to like Mansfield Reformatory.
Yeah.
I think that place is so neat. I love it. Is there a certain kind of haunt that you feel drawn to more?
Yeah, well, Mansfield, because it's not that far from me. It 45, 50 minutes, and then Hillview there as well. Mansfield is there too. I'll tell you what, in Mansfield, I tend to feel more sorry for the spirits because a lot of them were there, no life, you know, let's say it was not a happy place. Okay. I've had my encounters there, especially down in Solitary, where I was pushed and things like that. Mansfield is there, yeah.
See, this is where I would say the experience of like being a male or a female in comparison, because down in Solitary, that's where I experienced this gentleman named Marco, who was very protective of women.
Mm-hmm. And it can be. Here's my question.
I feel like he was sexually assaulted.
Could be.
He does not want that to happen to the women.
No, let me ask you this. Was he an inmate or a guard?
Inmate.
Okay, because sometimes the guards come through.
Oh, yeah, there's a guard. He's not so nice that comes through.
Oh. Okay, I know who you mean. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's different energy there, too. One time, in all the times I've been there, I had a scratch, but it wasn't anything great. But, you know, too, let's face it, guys. You go there, and, oh, you hear a flutter. Oh, yeah, what is that? Well, come on. Certain areas, there's no windows.
There is.
Okay. Oh, did you feel that, please?
Or, let me rephrase how one of the tour guides puts it, trash pandas take over at night.
Oh, yeah. And you got, yeah, the various animals. Yeah, you got to be careful there, too. But down in solitary, I agree. That and in one of the shower rooms, Tanya.
Which side?
Oh, boy, I want to say the right side. If you're facing the new prison, the right one.
Yes, yes. I've had a lot of stuff come out of that one.
Yeah, there too. One place that's active, everyone, and Tanya, it's not that far, is Grafton School in Grafton, Ohio.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of that.
Look into it. I was there, picked up on a little boy, and I was just there with very briefly with a friend. And what is going on with this mean janitor? And I guess he was very regimented, and he still patrols there, and he's been picked up on machinery. But Grafton School.
Wow.
South of Cleveland.
South of Cleveland. Okay. I thought I was going to say, which a lot of stuff south of Cleveland.
Closer to, west of Strongsville.
Okay. Now I know where you're at.
Yeah, but there's good. Certain areas around Lake Erie, guys, are not comfortable for me at all. Sandusky. I when I first started going to Sandusky, I would pick up on this, and I did not know what it was. I knew nothing about it. I said bodies and blood and smoke. It was horrible. I spoke to someone who was in the know, and here that was part of the Underground Railroad. The freed slaves over on the ships to Canada. A couple of the ships caught fire in the lake offshore.
One of them went down under mysterious circumstances.
Yep.
They do not know why.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. I love Sandusky. That's where I'm the opposite. I love it there.
Yeah. Well, I like it, but the water, about a block away from the water to the water, I have to just really be careful.
I worked a summer at Cedar Point, so I was surrounded by the water, and I was loving every minute of it. Mm-hmm. And if I had an opportunity, I would love to paranormally investigate Cedar Point, because that is active.
Yeah, very.
And
very.
Kings Island, because that one's active too.
Never been there. But Sandusky's fun. Grafton School, like I said, Haunted Hillview. It's actually in Newcastle, Kim. Is definitely something to look into. Definitely. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Being from Michigan, you guys could traverse a little my way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, I know up there too. And that's something to do. And every year we say something too. Do you know what's weird for me too? Las Vegas.
I get creeped out in Vegas.
Why is that?
In some of the residential areas. I have an old friend of the family out there who knows what I do. My wife and I will go out, and she'll, set up events for me, not tell me where we're going. You pick up things. A lot of the mob activity, believe it or not, so much downstairs. Well, off the strip, Tanya,
I've been on where I got a lot more, for me, I got a lot more mob activity on the strip than I did off of the strip. But everybody has their own experience.
Well, I tell you where I was and didn't know it. Red Fox's old house.
Nuh-uh. I lived Red Fox.
Yeah, his old house. Panic buttons. I smelled alcohol the whole bit.
Oh, I believe it.
That was years ago, but yeah. But I get a lot of it off. In fact, we went, Jan, 2 years ago? Yeah, last year. Last year, we went out, and about 45 minutes south of Vegas, south of the Strip, is a town, something Springs, Green Springs, whatever, I don't know. You go in there, and there's bullet holes in there on the in the bar from the mob days, and it's active. Guess why? Clark Gable went on a 3-day drunk when Carol Lombard's plane crashed into a nearby mountain and died.
He did. Because
right there. That's very active.
Because Clark Gable's from Cadiz, Ohio.
Yeah. He's not far from here, south of me. Yeah. But this bar, and there's still the bullet holes, from the old Western days and all that stuff, too. But he was there and very active bar. I mean, a one-room bar, but it's very active. So, but I like those places. So.
How do I?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know, like a little bit before we started recording, you're talking a little bit about the Hinsdale House. I've never been to the Hinsdale House, but I did have an experience with it. There was a shrine mirror that Greg and Dana Newkirk and the Haunt Me crew created when they were investigating the Hinsdale House. And I did have an experience with that mirror because I used it and they were using it in the Hinsdale House.
Yeah. I was with the owner yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Dan was with us yesterday. I worked with him. I did an investigation with him last night.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Down in Hillview. He's one of the gentlemen that was there too. And he had some very interesting stories. And I know many people who have been there. I myself just have not had the opportunity yet to get there. I do a lot of work in Buffalo. Believe it or not, I'm there next week, a week from today. But I'm so far. Hinsdale House is like an hour and a half away from where I'll be. But no, and he had some videos and stuff, and people had some very, very good footage, Brandon. Very good footage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the experience I had was like me and another team member with that scrying mirror. We were both looking into it. We both got the image of the American Gothic painting, which is the guy holding the pitchfork and the woman. We both, like, I got him, like, I'm seeing that painting, like not in the mirror, but it popped into my head, you know?
Yeah.
I just had that pop in my head, too.
So yeah.
That's my experience. They actually use it to communicate, like, with the Hinsdale House. Like, they're still like that.
Yeah. Interesting you say that. People went, this is August. I think they went in late May or first part of June, they went. Actually, a group from Hillview, they went, and they thought they'd get more in the house. Huh, they had a mirror with them. You know where they got it more? Outside in the yard.
Uh-huh.
Around the tree. Yeah. They got more out there. It's very, talk about spirit time, guys. They do what they want. Yeah, but no, that's on the list to go. A lot of people say it's very active. And Dan, just about this time last night, had some great stories for me. Yeah.
Yeah, it's on my bucket list, but that's kind of good. Yeah. For me, it's a very long drive out there, so it's going to be something I have to do a bucket list, do a big amount of time on the East Coast kind of a thing.
Yeah, well, it's 3 hours, or actually about 3.5. Maybe 3:45 for me, and I'm a half hour south of Cleveland. So yeah, it's not that close.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Buffalo in itself, depending on where you go, guys, Native American.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of Native American energy and activity there too. A lot of that. And just to elaborate on that, on Hillview, Kim, in Newcastle. This is so weird. Last night we were talking about it because I kept asking them about the Native American. Here recently there has been some evidence of like arrowheads and people seeing the Native American spirits like on the other side of the field on the tree line. Yeah. So it never, Hillview never disappoints. And then with our abilities, as long as we're open to it, guys, we're okay. Mm-hmm.
You're making me want to go more and more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But again, Tanya, you and I agree. We are never too old to learn. We're always learning and developing with this.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So.
Actually, my favorite lately to communicate with when I'm out, just out and about, is the Native spirits, because they've been giving me a lot more little tidbits.
Yeah. Yeah. And they can depend on where you're at, too. Certain areas in Pennsylvania, not Native American, but actually pioneers. Mm-hmm. I've been getting some pioneers too. Mm-hmm. Depending on where I go. So, but yeah, it never disappoints or anything. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, is there anything that you want to tell us that you have coming up soon, or?
Well, I do.
You have a book.
Oh yeah, thanks. I do. Right here. This was 2 years in the making. I met this lady actually at Hillview pre-COVID. And I read her. I didn't know who she was. I knew she was an author, but I didn't know exactly what was going on. She called me. Took her 2 years to write this book about me, old world psychic medium. Okay. It is not, I did not write it. I'm lucky I write a check. It is about me with my birth, being born with the veil, various things that have happened throughout my life. Mm-hmm. And it came out last part of February. And the cover, everyone, this is actually the village in Italy where my family came from.
Oh, cool.
I was there one time. And up here is the monastery, the Shrine of St. Benedict. And a few moments ago, I said we have a very strong devotion to St. Benedict, patron saint of against evil. That's why.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But it's on Amazon, Old World Psychic Medium. A lot of events coming up, Hillview, things like that. Nothing other really big unless just a lot of the shops in the Cleveland, Akron area. Buffalo, I do have a big event in Buffalo next Saturday, an outdoor event. But I'm working on next year. So, and then too, if you guys hear anything like in the Michigan area or whatever, please let me know that I can look at like any of the nice events. Because where are you guys located at? You're in where?
The Grand Rapids, which is kind of
area.
Which is kind of like west coast of Michigan, kind of in the center, kind of a thing.
Okay. Yeah, if anyone hears anything, please let me know, guys. Yeah, like Gregory Nicholas on Facebook, you'll see my face. Send me a request, guys. I'll accept it. Tanya, you and I are already friends, but I'll accept it. But yeah, let me know and any questions, because I'm always looking for new things because, you know, we have to keep, Tanya, you and I know, we always have to keep growing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How can people get a hold of you to set up a reading?
Sure. Gregory Nicholas on Facebook is the best way. Send me a request. I'm on Instagram as Psychic Greg Nick, but I use that just for more promotion of where I'm at, that Gregory Nicholas. And I will say this, for anything virtual like this, I'm about 3 to 4 weeks out.
Yep.
I'm really busy. This is my only, believe it or not, Sunday night off till November.
I got lucky then.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, so this was weird.
Mm-hmm. For people to reach out to you via Facebook, then is that the best method?
Yeah, Messenger. Yeah, because it's just easier. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But as long as they know that, you know, today I had, you know, three people I need a reading now. Well, I can't. You know, first of all, you know, I'm booked. Second, we only have so many in us. You know, this energy is not endless. We have to rest because we're of no good to people if we're too exhausted to do it. Right. So, but about 3 to 4 weeks out. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But please send me a request. I'll accept it. And I do post every week where I am too, whether it be Hillview or Cleveland or whatever. And again, too, if you guys know of anything, please let me know, because I'm always interested in looking, especially for next year.
Yeah, for sure.
Great. Yeah. Thank you, guys. A pleasure meeting you.
Yes. Well, thank you for being our guest tonight. We really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure.
Add anything to the end of the show?
No, thank you. I enjoy it. But my biggest things is that when we do this work, the psychic or the psychic medium stuff, please protect. I'm running into issues, guys, where some people of different ages, they think they can just do it like that. Mm. And they're not aware of, and I use the word blowback. They're not aware of any of the consequences.
Or they don't understand that people like Greg and I have had years to develop, to fine tune, years to tell the difference and trust those instincts. And
yeah,
it's not something you can just pick up and do overnight.
Right. And yeah, they're using too many of the various social media outlets, let's say, to learn, oh, they're watching an hour cast, whatever. Oh, and they think they can do it. And they want to do this, cast a spell or whatever, or wish something dark. Doggone it. It's going to come back.
Yeah.
But Tanya's right. The years of past experience and looking forward to future years of more experience.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Brandon, you want to add anything to the end of the show for our up and coming?
This is probably going to be here for like another 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Up to Michigan Paracon. You know, you're talking about the events. That's like kind of our.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
St. Marie. That they have like a 3-day weekend of different stuff up there. you wanted to get a vendor table, I would do it like as soon as it's the last weekend in August. You get it for like
okay.
a year, you'd want to get it in right away because that.
That's what I wanted to know. Okay.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. like very soon. After okay. after the pair account current one is done. But
right. And, you know, thank you. I will, because I'm always looking for that. Because, again, we already have the dates for, like I said, HillCon next year and OSR, Tanya and Mansfield. They're already set.
Okay, the Parasycon's already set up for next year. It's May yeah. 20th and 21st. And I'm like,
yeah, third weekend.
My grandpa's birthday again.
Third weekend. Yeah. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. No, but then to everyone, too, if you have any questions, please feel free to ask me.
Okay.
So.
I know, because when I arranged this and I asked who gave, like, what gave me away, I was expecting him to say, like, my dad or my grandpa gave me away.
Oh.
And I was like, no, he read my energy. I was wrong.
Yeah, because we were right next to each other, weren't we?
We were there but for 2 days right beside each other.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so.
Nicholas.
No. But yeah. No, thank you again. And if you need anything, please let me know.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for the opportunity, everyone. Hey, and
family-owned Plurimal Pizza underwrites this episode of Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast, located at 901 Bizon Parkway, Southwest Wyoming, and available at 616-531-8300.
The opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of the producer and not necessarily those of WKTV Community Media.